Welcome, everybody. This is the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Allen. I'm joined by Bikarth Shethakumar, Jordan Taylor. How are you two doing today?
Doing
well. And we cover the latest news, reviews, and discussions on the PlayStation 5 and its upcoming games. Gallivanting man, Jordan.
Well, thank you, Dan.
You're doing well? Yeah.
I'm doing well. I'm a little bit... I've just cramped up just as we went to start this. And... I don't know exactly why, but I cramped up in my leg. So I'm standing up as we're recording the start bit. And it could be just because I'm warming up just to bounce around for some kangaroomers. Bounce around for some kangaroos. You know what I'm talking about, man? Some gang announcements.
You're funny. How are you doing, guys? We are officially over the E3 period. As we know, E3 is dead. Vi called that, I think, episode 5 of this podcast. We're now 151 in. So well done, Bikarth. But
thank you. That's 20 points for my predictions.
I still call it the E3 season. How did you find this season compared to other seasons? Did it live up to the hype? Was it a letdown?
I think the showcase was very much a letdown, the PlayStation showcase. I thought the Xbox showcase was great. I thought the Ubisoft showcase, which I haven't watched all of it, was a bit meh. And Summer Games Fest was good. So I think if you average that all out, it's just a solid good. So B, I would say, a C plus B type thing.
Okay. 5. Jordan, what did you think?
I honestly think that the PlayStation showcase set the tone for what most of the showcases were going to be. What I mean by that is that we have to rapidly adjust our expectations for what the gaming landscape sort of looks post-COVID. And by that I mean... I think that we're just going to see a dramatic slowdown in the amount of games coming out because I feel like not only with working conditions sort of changing during COVID and I'm assuming with gaming companies adopting working from home models as well and how that may affect productivity, there's been a lot more awareness brought around crunch and developers crunching for games and getting them out quicker and that sort of thing. So what that means is we're going to see a lot more space in between games. And I think that's why the Sony showcase was as barren of the things we wanted to see.
Yeah, but you said you made a good point, Jordan, that they could be holding back because of that Activision.
So we talked about this in our private chat. And I don't know if we've talked about it.
No, we didn't.
I'm sure we've talked about it a little bit before, but there was a rumor, a kangaroo rumor, if you will, that Microsoft wanted to gain access to Sony's list of upcoming games in development as a part of the court proceedings with the whole Microsoft Activision merger or purchase. And so there was a thing brought up that apparently Sony could be holding back because they don't want to be seen to be being anti-competitive with all of their exclusives like lined up one after the other coming out, because then Microsoft could be like, hey, look at them. How come they can have all these exclusives and you're yelling at us about this? So there was a bit of a rumor that they could be intentionally holding back until these court proceedings play out and then they come forward and they do all these sort of things.
Do you still believe that theory?
I definitely think there's credence to it, yes. Sony would never admit it, but I definitely think there's credence to it. Let's just say that if the court proceedings finished up by the end of the year and they go whichever way they will with the Activision-Microsoft purchase, I would think the very next showcase that Sony has, there would be all of the announcements, even if it is just logos and stuff, because we didn't even get logos for stuff we know is happening.
It's just because games are taking, you know, they used to take 3 years. Yeah. Now they're taking 5 years. Maybe it's they're holding off a bit.
And if you look at Summer Games Fest, I feel like you could tell that there was things missing that we thought would be there as well. Like Death Stranding, we had said beforehand that would have been a lock to be there and that wasn't there. And is that because Sony's still holding to their chest their exclusives? Could be. Or is it because Kojima can't make it as quick as he did the original Death Stranding because we're in a post-COVID world now?
He might have a lot on his plate because he's doing a Death Stranding movie and another game. And So who knows?
What's the game, the Xbox game? What was it called?
Addicted Project... and Injected or something like that.
It was horror one, yeah. The horror Xbox
title. I forgot the name of it though.
Well, it was never. Yeah. It's never announced. Hasn't been announced.
No,
yet.
But there was a code name for it. So.
Yeah. Anyways, I think overall this Summer Games Fest season/E3 season in memoriam was lacking a bit of a punch that it could have used. But overall, I'm still pretty happy.
What game? So I think. What game do you think won? What was the biggest standout game of the entire last few weeks, do you think?
I would have to think Starfield is the one that's caught everyone's attention, especially because it's so close to coming out.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Finally got a really good look at it. Yeah, I would say Starfield.
I'd have to agree. I'd say Starfield was the big hitter.
I definitely think it's Starfield. I have my own biased opinion, but I think objectively it's Starfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Especially because it was given such time at the Microsoft conference too. Wasn't it given like 45 minutes at the end?
Yeah, it was a big direct.
I watched it all. It was great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It was good. Oh, by the way, it was called Overdose. That was
Overdose. Yeah.
It was something like that. Yeah.
Guys, I just Googled the Kojima game and I came across the stupidest thing I've ever seen, guys. Change.org, cancel Kojima's Xbox exclusive game. Kojima is betraying his loyal fans. He has been blinded by greed. We must help him come back to the winning side. 1,900.
Hey, but you haven't seen the one for Starfield. There's one, make it a PlayStation game or something. It's unbelievable. It's so funny.
Well, there was a username called LeBron James who signed the petition, so.
LeBron? Didn't know he's a gamer. Signed. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's got a PlayStation deal, actually. Yeah, good on him. I thought it was a mixed bag, the whole thing, because Capcom's was horrifically bad. I don't know if you guys watched that one. That was did not need to be a showcase. They showed Pragmata, but they said it was indefinitely delayed, and they showed another CG trailer. It looks good. It looks cool. You know, and then they showed Dragon's Dogma, which... I've never played the first one. I don't know much about it, so I'm still working my way into that world. And then Exo Primal, couldn't care less.
That is 'cause it's such a bad name, Exo Primal.
I think that's dead on arrival, that game, sadly. Yeah. A few other things, no Resident Evil updates, so yeah. And then we had Summer Games Fest, which bit of a letdown. I thought the ending, at the start he said, "Get ready, guys, that you're not going to believe what's at the end," like he always does.
The Hype Master Keely.
And it was Final Fantasy 7 Part 2.
Yeah.
Which, that is a good one. That is a great good one.
It would have been a lot better if Final Fantasy wasn't tweeting stuff all throughout the week and the day of leading up to it. It actually would have been a surprise.
I know. But that game isn't a... We already knew it was coming. It wasn't a surprise. He made out like the rumors are true. So I just thought that was a bit interesting.
Yeah. That's what I mean. If Final Fantasy, like if the Twitter accounts had shushed leading up to it, it would have been a surprise.
The pacing of the show, though, was a lot better than previous years. He had like Nicolas Cage came out for a little bit there. They showed off Alan Wake, bit of gameplay, they Mortal Kombat. I don't mind the devs coming out and talking about games that I care about. Felt like there was less fluff in that one, but I mean, it was still a little bit lackluster overall.
Just missing a bit of punch, missing that little bit of extra oomph.
Yep.
I still think Summer Games Fest was good. Out of the, I didn't watch the Xbox conference, which was apparently excellent. Summer Games Fest was the best one I watched this E3 season.
Yeah,
I really liked it. I was pretty much glued to it the entire time. Every time a game came up, I was either like, "That's really cool," or like, "I'd really want to play that," or would just, "That's nice for the people who want it."
Yeah, and they showed off that Prince of Persia game, which caught my eye. See that one, guys?
Awesome.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that looks sick.
Like a Metroidvania.
Yeah,
it's a great pivot for that. I think it's so smart. Like. Look, don't get me wrong, Prince of Persia has history, but is it an IP worthy of a full sort of action adventure third person reboot? Or is this just a great way? Like, I don't think it is, and that's why I think this is such a great pivot and a great move, to do this Metroidvania style lower budget type game that could still be AAA in quality. And yeah, I just think it's a great way to get fans of Prince of Persia wanting more, to get new people into the franchise, because I do. I mean, look, I know that the Prince of Persia has a history. I remember playing Sands of Time on the original Xbox, but I don't think it has the staying power of warranting a new game. That's, you know, that AAA third person action adventure type game. So this is a great decision.
That could be a big franchise if they did it right. Prince of Persia.
Yeah, you're right. And this, I think this is a good step into building that franchise.
Building it back up.
Yeah, building it back up. Because that remake, the Prince of Persia remake, I have no idea where that is. And they didn't mention it in the Ubisoft.
No, it was indefinitely delayed.
Yeah. And no Skull and Bones, guys. We'll get to Ubisoft later.
So, but, yeah, so the Summer Games Fest, there was another thing with that one. Lies of P got a release date.
And a demo,
and they had over 1 million players. So that was pretty good for them.
And yeah, it's been pretty well received from what I've seen. Yeah.
I think I heard today it's currently the 12th most pre-ordered game on the PlayStation Store.
Wow. Yeah,
good on them. Great. Wow. Great stuff.
Yeah.
We actually also, correct me if I'm wrong, saw a Starfield trailer, obviously, to tease the showcase for Microsoft.
Yep. Hold on. When does Lies of P come out? Do we have that date?
September, I think.
September 19th, yeah.
We obviously saw Alan Wake 2, which I want to hear your thoughts on that, Dan.
Alan Wake 2, it's everyone's most anticipated game, mate.
What did you think of the gameplay that they showed?
I mean, they're purposely holding off Alan Wake gameplay, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
because that's going to be spoiler heavy, I would imagine, and completely different to the version of that other woman, that detective. I like how you can open, just with a click of the button, you can open up her mind, which takes you into a detective office with all the clues, and you piece that together. That's a really unique concept.
Like a memory palace type thing.
Yeah. I can't think of a game that's done something like that off the top of my head. So that was something unique. The gameplay looked similar to a Resident Evil 4 with the shooting. So, and it's very extraterrestrial with the enemy. So I don't know. I'm very keen for it. I'm trying to lower expectations because I've been burned before on games like this, but it's all pointing towards something really, maybe this franchise can get a bit of a resurgence with this game. It's all looking good. And also they showed off Path of Exile 2, which I thought was very smart at Summer Games Fest because everyone was playing Diablo 4. Or, you know, the hype around that game, their biggest competitor is Path of Exile. So throw that in. Caught my interest. That's for sure. And then, I mean, the Summer Games Fest, there was a few other announcements, but that was sort of the main stuff.
Armored Core 5, I will say Immortals of Avium. We just keep seeing it. And, I'm pretty convinced with that game. I'm excited.
I like the look of it as well. I didn't realize have you guys watched Never Have I Ever on Netflix?
Mate.
I haven't.
Jordan.
I haven't.
Me and my fiance, every season that's come out, we've watched in one day, one sitting.
Yeah.
The entire season. And this one we didn't because it was the last season, but we finished it on Sunday.
One sitting?
Yeah,
that's
man.
Impressive.
I mean, see,
what's so good about it?
Oh, it's just good. Mindy Kaling directed it and
is it Aussie?
Wrote it. No.
It's American. It's about an Indian American girl in high school in America. And it's like a teen drama that follows her, teen comedy drama. It's really funny. And Dan, I could give you 1 million guesses and you'd never guess who narrates it.
Yeah.
Go on. Who is it? Say it.
It's John McEnroe.
John McEnroe. What the hell?
He narrates the entire show.
That's ridiculous.
The entire show. Yeah.
Whoever all did that seasons. Is a legend. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's Mindy Kaling. She wrote, produced, and did all of it, the whole show.
Indeed. So. I recognize that name. Do I know?
Kelly from The Office, Kelly Kapoor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's cool.
Yeah, I love that show. Devi as the main character is a Tamil, Canadian Tamil. And
so why were we mentioning this show? What was it in relation to again?
Yeah, what was it?
Jordan?
Because the main character, one of the dudes from Never Have Paxton. I Ever, is the main character in Immortals of Avium.
Oh, guys, that game has just left me very, very sad. I've seen previews and it's not looking good. It's just not looking good. No, I don't.
The story has a potential to be like a Doom-like intensity.
Did you watch the gameplay? Did you watch it? It looked very stiff and slow.
Look, the gameplay they showed when they're narrating over the game and talking about it, like the little clips, they look good. But then you're saying that sort of
the raw unedited.
The raw unedited. I feel like they just picked a bad section to advertise the game.
But wouldn't they pick the best section?
Yeah, I know. I'm still convinced. I definitely think it's like not as maybe it's a must buy, but it's definitely something I want to keep a close eye on. I haven't written it off in any way.
No, I haven't written it off. I'm just my hype levels have been shattered. So, I mean, it could surprise me now. It's probably a good thing. But, yeah, check out the unedited Raw when you get a chance, guys, and you might agree with me a little bit more. But
I know what you're saying. When they're sort of flying, are you doing it when they're flying on the big mech? That huge.
No, I'm just talking about just general gameplay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just general gameplay of Immortal. Yeah, and the main character, I've heard he's Paxton. A bit annoying from multiple people. Like everyone that previewed it said it. So if you heard it for one or two, but if everyone says it, then you're thinking, okay. So
I
that's,
feel like this is definitely a game where you'd appreciate it more in the harder difficulties, where maybe you're forced to cycle through different magic, you're forced to be a bit creative in the way you play the game, because when games are too easy, it just, I don't know, it just makes everything one-dimensional. Like one of the games where I really remembered that was, I think, I was going to say Kena, but I think even on the harder modes, that was pretty one-dimensional. But even Horizon, for instance, like Horizon Forbidden West, I played on the hardest difficulty, and that forced me to avoid just using the bow. I had to put traps down. I had to obviously analyze the enemies to find their weaknesses and the elements they're weak to, and use the entire wheel just to take down single, you know, the mammoths or the behemoths and those sort of things. So, but on easy mode, you know, when I played Horizon Zero Dawn and, you know, playing on normal, and then when you're at the end of the game, when you're really good and you've got everything, you're just using like the bows, right? It's very one dimensional, but on the harder difficulty where it's, you know, the Slaughter Spine, I think the enemies in Forbidden West, they were one-hit kills. So on the hardest difficulty. So I think it just helped you. The difficulty always helps add dimensions of creativity and necessity to use everything the game offers. And I feel like with a game like Immortals of Avium, where when you saw the gameplay, you saw there's powers for traversal, there's rapid fire and these big explosions, and there's different types of magic. And I just think this game, the full, like, you know, to experience it fully, I think a harder difficulty really would help.
I ask, what's a game, guys, see if you can, off the top of your head, a game that you loved, not liked, loved, that you didn't like the main character that you played as? Can you think of one?
So are we saying didn't like, you didn't like the main character?
Yeah. But you love the game. You probably can't even think of one. And that's my worry with this game.
So one that comes to mind is I would say that I loved this. I loved Days Gone. I didn't like Deacon.
Really? Okay. Okay. Days Gone. Yeah. Didn't like Dan, Sam Witwer.
Did you like Sergei off Atomic Heart?
No, but yeah, that's a good one. Okay.
Aiden Pierce.
I didn't love Watch the Dogs. Game, but yeah. Aiden Pierce.
I didn't love Watch Dogs. And I didn't love Watch Dogs. Aiden Pierce.
He was so boring.
Did anyone love Watch Dogs? I mean, Watch Dogs 2, I can agree with for some people, but 1, really? Mm. I don't know anyone that loved Watch Dogs 1.
I feel like Watch Dogs 1 was the most bland version of a Ubisoft game I've ever seen.
You ain't seen nothing yet, mate.
I feel like it is like the cookie cutter that they use. Like that's what they use to, and then they decorate other Ubisoft games with that formula because it is like, it's like they just took the formula for their games and just published it. We're like, let's see if people will play it.
Hey, did we mention Spider-Man 2, guys? We obviously have the
release date.
Yeah.
The release date is, what is it? November, yeah. October 20. Yeah, that pissed me off. You know why it pissed me off? 3 days after Alan Wake and 5 days before Alone in the Dark. So that kind of pissed me off. But
are you excited for Alone in the Dark, Dan?
I am. Have you seen it? It looks great. It's got your man in it, man. It's got your guy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be better than that, Vi.
No. They've fully redone it. It actually looks all right. Yeah.
Wait, who's this guy? You said it's got my guy.
The guy from the name's escaping me. David, say it.
Hater. Not Solid Snake.
He's in Black Widow.
Oh, David Harbour.
David Harbour. Stranger Things. Yeah.
Who the hell is David Harbour?
Fuck, doesn't even know him.
Cross.
Oh, that guy. How is that my guy? I just don't know who he is.
No, he's not your guy then, obviously.
Is there any other games you guys want to mention about the Summer Games Fest? Because I obviously have one glaring game I want to mention.
No, look, we'll talk about Final Fantasy another day, so go ahead.
Oh, before I do talk about my game, I honestly want to hear what you guys thought of this. What did you guys think, and did you guys see the Twisted Metal clip, the show clip?
Horrible.
Absolutely horrible.
Okay.
Interesting.
I thought it was
– I liked the thong song. Like, I thought it was humorous, but if it's the best clip they've got, I don't know. We're in trouble.
I don't think that's the best clip they've got. I think that was just a very marketable clip because it's like everyone knows the thong song.
Yeah.
That's funny. There's a bit of a laugh.
Yeah. You're right, George, and that's how I see it. Although I just – Anthony Mackie, man, I don't rate him. I want to talk about the game that was my favorite game. I know we said Starfield, but my most favorite game of this entire showcase, of all the showcases, Mortal Kombat 1.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we didn't even talk about MK. Shit.
Mate, I am so far into the rabbit hole, guys, of YouTube on Mortal Kombat. Every recommended video is Mortal Kombat for me right now, and I've watched hours of people breaking down the cameo system, the cameo fighter system, the different systems in which, you know, the dash mechanics or, you know, the combo mechanics of the game. Obviously, the classic, you know, the roster videos and the wish lists and all that. Like, I'm just fully sold on this game, and my excitement levels. Like, I'm normally not hyped about a game, but my hype levels for this game are beyond anything I've ever hyped myself up for.
Why is that? Like, is there a specific reason or is it a combination of everything?
Let me put it like this. Mortal Kombat 9, as it had some broken stuff. Anyone who plays Cyrax or Cabal would know that. But
it was the best one. Come on.
It was the best one. The story, the characters, even the extra features and the other gameplay, like Test Your Might, those sort of side features. You had the towers. You had all the best parts of Mortal Kombat. And the story was a complete reimagining of MK 1, 2, and 3. Beautifully done. MK 10, the mechanics of that game were actually really good. It was a phenomenal Mortal Kombat. And I'm not a fan of MK 10 and 11 story, but the mechanics of MK 10 was really good. The DLC characters are great. MK11, in my opinion, was a bit of a letdown. I think the meter system, the fatal blow system, just a few systems that weren't that good. And what I've always wanted in a new Mortal Kombat is build off MK9 and their systems. That was the most accessible, in my opinion. It had the lowest floor, highest ceiling in terms of potential. And it looks like that's what they're doing. And the other thing I'm really excited about is they're completely rebooting the entire story, because in the end of MK11, Liu Kang essentially became a fire god and reset the entire universe in his image. So
And now they're giving everyone new arcs. Is that right?
Yeah. Like Scorpion and Sub-Zero are now biological brothers, or that's what Ed Boon seemed to have said. And, you know,
he said they were brothers.
Yeah, Kenshi has his vision back, which obviously he'll lose. But it's good to see that they're starting all over again. They can reimagine Mortal Kombat in the way they want. I'm actually really excited for whatever features people want. You know, the conquest mode from, I think it was Armageddon or Deadly Alliance, one of them. But they want the other features and like test your mind, those sort of things. And I just think they have a potential to make this an ultimate Mortal Kombat game where it has a great campaign, great mechanics and story, a great features like conquest mode or other side modes, and a great competitive space as well. And from what I've seen with the mechanics, it looks really friendly to newer players, but has a really high ceiling because they've done away with like the run mechanics of MK10 or MKX, and they've sort of gone into more, it's not even dashing anymore, it's just walking. But with that, with the cameos and the potential they have, it's not like the cameo fighters, it's not just some sort of gimmick of like a tag team, like Marvel vs. Capcom. I'm not saying Marvel vs. Capcom's systems was gimmick, but I'm not saying it's not just a random attack. It's things that are unsafe with cameo fighters are now safe. You can now combo off a down two with cameo fighters. They are the ones that your cameo fighter is the one who does your tech throws.
So you see them being used well in professional?
They've gone all in on it, Dan. They've gone all in. Like, cameo fighters are a must. They are a must if you want to be competitive. That's what I really appreciate about it. With Injustice 2, right, you had the armor system, right? That was a big thing. But no one did that in competitive because it's not feasible. So it's sort of like they went half in on that. But in this, it's sort of fair and they've gone all in that you have to. You have to be good at your cameos. And your cameo pick is almost as important as your character pick, right? You're going to have your main, and then you're also going to have your main cameo as well. So it's just, I'm just really excited for it. I'm actually more of a guy who plays Mortal Kombat for the story. I love the story of Mortal Kombat. So I'm just really excited that they're rebooting everything in a way. And I think they can really do a good job of it all, because I think a lot of people had a problem with MKX's story and Cassie and, you know, the combat kids, and then MK11. And so it's just great that they can start it all over again and vision it in the way they want. Like Scorpion, Sub-Zero brothers. That's interesting, man. Like that's something that's really cool. So I'm super excited for this game, and maybe my hype's too much. Maybe it's going to let me down, but I literally want it to be everything MK9 was and more. I want to see a conquest or some sort of other game mode. I want to see extra story content. I want to see, great story. I just want it all, and I'm excited.
I love what they did with the, when you select a character and there's no like load screen.
Yeah.
Notice that?
An Injustice clash.
Yeah. But yeah, isn't that, that's good, just man. A smart way to do it, isn't it?
And just how refined. Good do the graphics look, man?
Oh,
how
yeah.
How good do they look?
Jeez, it looked good.
Yeah, graphics look excellent.
Even like the jumping and the flotation of the characters in the air look a lot slower in a way that it seems more accessible to combo potential and beginners of the game. So, I just have a lot of faith in Ed Boon, and I'm just really excited for this one.
To me, it looked less stiff than the last few games.
Yeah.
It looked a bit more free-flowing, which I wanted, and obviously fatalities looking great. That Johnny Cage map, I think it's his house.
Yeah.
That looked fantastic in the background.
We haven't seen any, like, one thing. One of the YouTubers I've watched, Maximilian, me and Jordan love him. One of the things he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
He mentioned that like we haven't seen any like evil locations. Like where are the pits where the skeleton's getting burnt into acid? Where's the spiked floor and the blood? You know, like we haven't seen that yet. And I think once they start releasing the villains and Shang Tsung, and because like Liu Kang's like the story is Liu Kang's like recreated the entire universe, because he became a god and reset it all.
So
it's like everything looks really nice and beautiful.
Yeah. But it's probably a spoiler thing. What about, so the cameo fighters, mm-hmm. who are they? Are they just the main roster?
Yeah. So base. No, no, no. So it's a completely separate roster. So
none of them are the main roster.
Fighters.
Oh, okay.
No, I was going to say some cameos can be main. So Scorpion and Sub-Zero have been announced as cameo fighters, but they're also main. So you can have, you can play Sub-Zero with a cameo Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
But then most of the cameos will not be playable. So I think that could be a bit of a, you know, because if you love, like, for instance, I love Striker, like the character Striker. Yeah. I don't think he's any good competitively, but I just love him. And he's a cameo. And I'm like, ah, crap. That probably doesn't mean we're going to get him as a main roster. Mm. But I love Striker. But
that's all right.
It's just good that at least we can get, you know, we can see them in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just super excited, man. Like, hype levels through the roof for me.
Me too. I can't wait. All right. Ubisoft. So what did you guys think of Avatar? Because well, 40 episodes or so ago, we said, look, this cannot be a Far Cry game with an Avatar skin. And what did we see? It's a Far Cry game. It's exactly that, okay?
I am off Far Cry. I haven't played a Far Cry since number 5. Mm-hmm. And so I've missed, what, New Dawn, number 6. So I've missed the last 2. This looks really fun. I'm all for this. Yes, it is. I'm like looking at gameplay now and like you are.
You're like literally taking out a base with a bow and arrow and guns.
You're taking out a base with a bow and arrow as you are like marking people like you would in Far Cry. I'm like, okay. But I'm also like, that's also what a Na'vi would do if they were doing that.
Well, so, I mean, it fits in. And the world looks beautiful. Yeah. But
it looks beautiful. It looks colorful.
Surely there's something else to it.
Concerns. Yeah, I do have some concerns. Please don't let this just be the first movie over again. Like,
you can tell.
Because they've given us some context of what the story is going to be and the character you're playing as. That's okay. But please don't let this be a thing where, you know, you get accepted into the thing and then, you know, a quarter of the way through you get to go and fly a banshee. And then, you know, things look really grim. And then so 3/4 of the way through the story, you need to go and like become Taruk Maktao, which is the rider of the big red flying.
Yeah,
beast.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, please don't let it be that over again. Like, let's be a little bit more original than that. Let us ride some animals that like we haven't seen. You can see that we can ride the banshees. And like, let us ride something else as well. Let us do some things we haven't seen in the movies yet. Nothing too crazy that you're going to step on James Cameron's toes. But like, let us see some things and do some things we haven't seen that could be really cool in a gaming space.
You know what? What would change it up as well? If they let you play first and third person, even something as simple as that would be a nice touch.
So they give you the option.
Give you the option, you know? I'm sure you can probably go third person when you're riding things or, yeah, as you said, but
yeah,
maybe
when you're
in
flying
gameplay
the thing and riding it, it goes third person.
I thought it was a good trailer. Like it got people very hyped. I feel like not many people realized there was already a good Avatar game that came out. Like this kind of feels like the first Avatar game, but it's not technically. And
no, that was one that came out that was solid. It was solid.
Yeah, solid. And then another thing was James Cameron actually put his name behind it, kind of. We know he created Avatar, but he actually talked at this conference and said, take a look. So I feel like he wouldn't put his name on something that was bad, you wouldn't think.
No.
Would you?
Oh, except for the, you know, most recent Terminator films.
Yeah, well, does he have his name on those? Did he? I mean, he didn't direct, I guess.
Didn't he direct like the most recent one, that made number 3 and that not canon?
Not okay. Anyone.
I honestly don't know Terminator well enough to say. But yeah, I agree with you, Dan. I really think this is going to be, it's not going to be 10 out of 10. It's not going to be that.
No, no.
It can definitely get like 8s to 8.5s, I reckon, as long as the story hits, which, you know, I think it will, because it'll be you taking on colonials that are funded by rich capitalists, which is always a bit of fun.
Well, it's got to have that emotion of the two films. You got to have that raw emotion. So we're yet to see if that will pan out. But yeah, otherwise it looked very Far Cry. Collect resources, and I can guarantee the skill tree will be fucking Ridiculous. I already know.
There is
know.
A glimpse of the skill tree in the, there? Is. In the trailer.
Yeah, there is.
What is it? I'm trying to find it.
What, exactly I did, what I didn't you said, Dan.
Oh, exactly no. Is said. It really? Branching Look. Paths? Big icons?
Yeah, branching paths. Yep. There you go, Dan. You nailed it.
So, Vike, you must think this is an embarrassment.
Yeah. But look,
yeah.
How do I say this? I don't know how they could have done this game any different. If you're making an open world, why not play to the strengths of Far Cry and make it into a Far Cry game? But at the same time, I'm like, that's probably not what I want. But then I'm like, what do I want in an Avatar game? Do I want some linear campaign like Ubisoft? The thing with Ubisoft, and you know, not only do you see this with Avatar, you see this with, you know, Star Wars Outlaws and Assassin's Creed Mirage. It's all that Ubisoft open world is so it's formulaic, right? They all share the same underlying, you know, blueprint for their open worlds. It's just a different coat of paint. So it all hinges on how good their open world design is, because the big thing I'm worried about, especially with this game, is are we going to have just meaningless side quests and fetch quests? Like, the worlds might be beautiful, but, you know, the animals are your Far Cry vehicles. The skill tree are your Far Cry skill tree. The weapons, yeah, you're going to upgrade it at some workbench or something like that. You know, where's a real point of difference? Like, you shouldn't, with a game like Avatar, where James Cameron has made this really great creative IP, you shouldn't really try to make it into this, try to cram it into this Far Cry formula cookie cutter type thing. Like, I don't know. That's what I'm worried about, because it is, I do think sincerely, it is just going to be like, if you look at the gameplay where he's holding the bow and arrow, where he's shooting mechs, it just looks so Far Cry to me. And like you said, where he's scanning and defeating mechs in an outpost, it's, you know, is that what we have to do? We're just going to have the humans be the enemy faction taking over the land, and we have to destroy the outposts.
How many human bases are you going to get to before you're bored of this game?
Exactly. And, yeah, you've got human guns.
No, you're not going to get upgradable. Bored. You're not going to get bored, Jordan?
I think the fact that it's not just you going through some location, I think the fact that it's an alien world is the bit that's going to make it exciting.
Yeah, world of Avatar is
like outback West Virginia. Like, it's an alien world you're going through. I could play it, you know, a few months from now and be completely wrong, but I think the fact that it is on an alien world is going to spice it up. Like, the Far Cry formula isn't that broken, because people buy it and enjoy it, and it's been the same since Far Cry 3. I think it's just a coat of paint on it that really affects enjoyment, because, yeah, at the end of the day, I don't know. I think it's going to be fun, though.
You know, this is two-player co-op, guys?
Yeah, I did say that. Yeah.
Yeah. What does that make? Does that make you want to play it in co-op, Vike? No. Doesn't.
Normally, I'm a big guy who, you know, I've always said co-op instantly makes things more fun, but
not for a game like this.
The thing with co-op is, unless you do a game like A Way Out or, you know, It Takes Two with Joseph Farah's, like, if you don't do a game like that, all co-op games naturally, I feel like, just they're devoid of any meaningful story. There's something about co-op where you can't singularly relate to the story. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I do feel like if it's co-op, that indicates to me that the story isn't going to be, it's not going to be this heavily story-driven game. And I don't think Ubisoft ever would make games that are heavily story-driven. They're all mainly gameplay and activity-driven. But, yeah, I'm just worried, man, because not worried. I just don't have any real hope for this game, because it just, everything about it screams Far Cry. And if you like Far Cry, you're probably going to like this. But for me, the greatness of Far Cry 3, yes, it was its originality because that was the first time we saw it, but the story and the characters were so compelling. So if they have great writing in this game, then yeah, maybe. But there's a part in the trailer, I think it's in the Ubisoft presentation video, in like 10 minutes, 33 seconds. There's like this part where the Na'vi like pulls off this like electrical box and like pulls out these wires. And it's obviously like a standard animation. And I'm just like, this just screams Far Cry Watchtowers, or there's going to be a bunch of these human towers, communications towers, and you're going to have to go around disabling them. Like, I can already see the like the identity of the open world activities that are just so devoid of a soul. It's just so these soulless, mindless activities that we're going to have to do.
Yeah. What I'm saying is I feel like story. They're going to get away with it because the world is going to be so beautiful. As Jordan said, Pandora, exploring Pandora.
Same with the movies. The movie stories are okay. They're fine. But they do so well because they have massive action set pieces. They have such an interesting world with an interesting alien race with the constant battle between the humans and the Na'vi. Like, that's what it is. There's nothing revolutionary about the story.
Yeah, and even it reminds me of James Cameron keeping in that in Avatar 2, they wanted to get rid of this 15, 20-minute section where no story happened. Yeah. It was just like beautiful shots underwater, and he's like, no, we're definitely keeping it. It's like it didn't progress the story at all, but it's stuff like that in this game that might help it along. You know, people taking screenshots and posting it on social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, it'll be a bit of a talking point, yeah.
Mm. Do you want to know something? Do you want to know my hot take on these and on a gaming topic?
Mm.
It's I saw a YouTuber's comment that they said there's no way internally the devs aren't calling this game Avatar Blue Far Cry. They're not calling Avatar just Blue Far Cry. But one guy said, first we had Eagle Vision, then Primal Vision, then Drone Vision with Predator Vision. Now we have Na'vi Vision. And then the guy's like, it clearly works, so I'm on board. I'm just like, I do feel like we are, it's like a crutch, man. Like, I actually think about this nowadays. We are so reliant in any game, not just Ubisoft, on vision, like Hitman's Instinct and stuff like that to play the game. It reminds me of like, I know I'm going off topic, but it just reminds me of like cars now coming with reverse camera. And nowadays people can't even park. And I feel like that too. I've sort of used a crutch where I find it more difficult to park without a reverse camera now because I've lost that depth perception because I'm so used to just using a reverse camera. It's like nowadays with stealth games and stuff, they don't come without a vision system. Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
People probably thought the same thing when saves came in.
Yeah, you're not wrong, James. Yeah, just Death Stranding, I'm just saving every bloody time I leave for a mission. So yeah, you're not wrong. But look, Far Cry. Avatar. I'm not looking forward to. I think this is going to be a commercial 7 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10 because it's going to be the way it's going to be received is are people sick of the Far Cry formula?
We say this every time one comes out.
And yeah. No one's ever sick of it. No. So, no. Yeah.
And it's getting a different coat of paint now. So
I'm the biggest hypocrite of them all because I liked Far Cry 6. So
you made me play that game, Dan.
You didn't like it, did you?
Made me finish it. No, I didn't mind it. It was all right. It was good, Dan. I'll say that. It was good, but I don't need to play another Far Cry for years because I know.
No, I agree.
Like, I know what I've got.
Yeah. I'm the same. But what are they going to do now? They're going to have Frontiers of Pandora 1 year and then the next year of Far Cry and then another Avatar game. And we're going to be playing the same.
You've got
how much Wars burnout? Game. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's go to the Star Creed. Wars game. So what did you think of Star Wars Outlaws, that name?
Yeah.
Is this a fake trailer? That's what I thought. Like, it looked too good to be true for a Ubisoft game.
I think there's a good emphasis on story and dialogue, which I really like. But there are things that I'm like, how that looks great, but how far are Ubisoft really going to flesh this out? For instance, there was a moment in the cutscene where it's like, bribe or don't bribe. Yeah. And I'm like, and then she doesn't do the bribe in the game and things go haywire. I'm like, if she accepted the bribe or whatever it was, would the gameplay be in like totally different? You know, is this really going to fundamentally change the outcome of the story? Because Ubisoft don't make like Detroit style choice based impacting games. And I don't expect them to. So that's why I'm saying, like, why is there that sort of system when there's no meaningful consequence behind that system? And look, maybe I'm judging. Maybe they will have a meaningful consequence, but I think it's really hard to do for this sort of game. Once again, correct me if I'm wrong, it's open world as well. So you know, the Ubisoft, like, I don't know, man. Like,
it's the open world game. It's the narrative director behind Far Cry 6, by the way.
It's the Division Studio, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, is it a lot like Division?
It looks like a lot of the systems behind the Division. And I was watching like the combat, and I'm like, that looks a lot like Division.
Is the story going to be good though? Because Star Wars, man, like out of any game, like any IP, Star Wars is primarily the story. It's primarily the characters and the world. And I just don't think you can have some devoid like story mode, because all Ubisoft open world games have weak stories. In my
opinion. You like the Far Cry 6 story? Because it's the same narrative director.
Yeah, like Far Cry 6 had good story elements and story beats, yeah. But it was only when Giancarlo and his son were on, like, those moments. The rest was pretty bland, right? So they nailed that part. But are they going to keep that quality for this entire Star Wars game? I saw that you can use the workbench and I don't know. And then also you can apparently, like, you know, fly seamlessly from land to space to a space battle, then light speed off into or hyperdrive off into.
Yeah, that's when I thought, like, well, what's the scope of this? It seems too big of a scope. There's going to be some drawbacks. I did like that it was shooting and not lightsabers for once in a Star Wars game. That is appealing to me, something different.
Yes.
But this, when they went into the sky and did we need these space battles, you know, and how fleshed out is that going to be? Will it feel like a mini game?
That's what I worry about because, and this is the same, and we're going to talk about this later, but the same thing I worry about Starfield in the way of it's, what is the scope of this? Because if it's just like Star Wars Jedi Survivor, where the ship is just there to take you from different planets, but this looks like it's completely open world where there's a bunch of planets you can visit. There's all these seamless space battles. Like it looks great, but how is this really going to work out? You know, am I just going to, like, if I need to go from like Tatooine to Yavin, am I just going to fly there like from seamlessly, like in one fell swoop and then light speed? Or is it going to be teleporting and fast traveling? Because that's the thing. They haven't explained anything about, you know, space battles and, you know, light speed travel and how that works in this story.
Look,
it's cool to show, but I think gamers are now a bit more in tune with, like, seeing, and I don't use this word lightly, but like seeing the BS between a lot of this stuff.
That's why I'm being so harsh, because it's Ubisoft. And
it is.
This looked actually really damn good, what they showed for this. And I had to check myself and watch it again and dissect it a little bit more because I got caught up in the hype a little bit. I'm thinking, you know, is this all what it – because remember Division and Watch Dogs, the fake sort of marketing stuff they did, and it was never what they showed. So I just had to – what did you think, Jordan, of this gameplay? Are you hyped?
I thought it looked pretty good. Still pretty early and obviously just a vertical slice of – what it could look like or what it should look like with their vision at the moment. Just that it looks fun. I like that we're tackling a different character, a different type of character. Do we have any idea of when it's taking place?
Between episode – Jordan, you're not going to like this. So it's between episode 4, 5, and 6, I think.
Yeah.
The deflated voice. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I would just like some more stuff that's set after 6.
Yeah, you want the creative narrative freedom, right?
Yeah, we want that
so
narrative freedom.
So it's set
freedom.
Between really Empire Strikes Back. One. Yeah, it's set between Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
This is from the direct website of Ubisoft. Explore distinct planets across the galaxy, both iconic and new. Risk it all as Kay Vess, a scoundrel seeking freedom. A scoundrel seeking freedom and the means to start a new life along with her companion Nyx. Kind of giving the BD-1 vibes, right?
Yeah.
But
was giving fights, the BB-8 vibes, which was giving the R2-D2 vibes.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Fight stealing out with your way through Galaxy's Crime Syndicate. So, it's the soul that I think that's the thing with all Ubisoft games. I worry about the soul of the game where... Yeah. It just looks like recently so many of these Ubisoft games are soulless, formulaic, cookie-cutter games. They push all their games into the same mold, open-world mold, and it just rips away the soul of what the game could have been. So I think with Avatar and Star Wars, I'm just really unsure about where the real soul of this game is going to be. Yeah,
I don't know. Should try and take a page out of Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order if they can. Mm. But also, then
I like what you said, Dan. I like that it's not Jedi based. This, like, it's great that it's
This has the potential to be their next big thing, which is what they were lacking. We've talked about before they were lacking another big hitter. Avatar will sell well, we know that, but this has got big potential, this one, if it hits. The Division guys know what they're doing with shooters, so, you know, let's see where it goes. We'll probably see more next year. Come out 2025, I would predict, maybe the end of next year. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wish other studios had these IPs, man. Like, why give it to Ubisoft and EA and I don't know, man. I'm excited for Quantic Dream Star Wars game whenever that comes out, because that's like a unique.
Yeah,
it'll be narrative.
EA have shown though that they flubbed it with Battlefront, but like Jedi's a hit.
Yeah, you're right, Joe. It's Respawn are great. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Jedi's a hit. My last thing I'll say on Star Wars before we move on, I would be willing to guarantee that the first gaming property we get that is Star Wars based and is set wholly in the High Republic era, that will be the best mainline now Star Wars story we've gotten in a game. I'm not talking about Knights of the Old Republic because that doesn't count anymore because it's not canon anymore. I'm talking like story that like actually counts as canon in the Star Wars universe. It'll be in the High Republic era, so way, way, way before episode one, because they will have almost wholly creative freedom to do whatever they want. There's already some rules and some things that have already been set up with stuff that happened in Jedi Survivor and then all like with the comics and the book universe that started there now. But it's like it's uncharted territory. They can do what they want. They can make as many characters as they want. They can pull from existing characters that have been made now. They could use Dagon Gera if they wanted to. Use him in some way. That'd be really cool. And Centauri Cree. But yeah, that's my guarantee. The first game that's set in the High Republic era, I reckon in the mainline universe, will be the best because there'll be no restrictions or very little restrictions.
Mm. Do you know what it is that I think about licensed IP, right? Especially IPs where there's universes and variety of movies, especially Star Wars, and that Star Wars really magnifies this problem, is that as soon as you put it, the thing that baffles me is you put it in between episode 3 and 4, but then you're not allowed to touch any of the seminal things that happened between episode 3 and 4. Like, why would you set a game between episode 3 and 4, let's say 3 and 4 is like Clone Wars era, but let's say 4 and 5, right? You can say everything between 4 and 5, but you're not allowed to touch Luke Skywalker. You're not allowed to touch Han Solo. You're not allowed to touch Princess Leia. It's like, then what's the point? Like, it's like you're already at a disadvantage. You're already handcuffed yourself because you're putting yourself in this era, but then all the big moments in that era, you're not allowed to touch. And, you know, it pigeonholes you into a corner where you can only do so much with so little. Mm. So I'm just,
especially because the games now need to be adding to the universe now, not retreading. Like, we're not going to get tie-ins like we used to. Now the games need to be adding to the existing canon.
Yeah. Like, what benefit do you get by putting it between Empire and Return of the Jedi?
Who's controlling the canon? Is it Kathleen Kennedy?
Yeah, it might be
she single-handedly ruined Star Wars, but
she was the one. I think when Disney bought it, she was one of the, I don't know, I'm talking out my bum here, but when Disney bought it, that was when they came out and they were like, all the Dark Horse comic stuff, not canon anymore. Mm. The books, not canon. Knights of the Old Republic, not canon. It was basically just the movies that were out at the time and the Clone Wars TV show and Rebels, if that was out, that was it.
Yeah. She is so...
Because it got real messy.
She's ruined Star Wars in so many ways, but I think Filoni is trying his best. Filoni is doing The Mandalorian, Clone Wars. He does all those, and he's doing a great job. I think he should be in charge, but yeah, I don't know.
Do you think James Gunn should be in charge of DC? We're not gonna go into this.
No.
All right, we need to move on.
DC
but
to turn into a comedy show.
Star Wars Outlaws. It looks fantastic with everything. We will keep that little third eye, I call it. Just, you know, don't let them get away with anything. Now, the Xbox conference, we'll just go into little bit. Absolute asshole. Yeah.
I just wanted to hear your thoughts, Dan, particularly what? You, on Mirage.
Oh, Mirage, yeah. Look, I heard that the map size is the same as Unity. That was a good thing.
That's great.
That's good.
That's great, yeah.
I don't mind the idea of the game because I never actually played the first Assassin's Creed to the end.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of a bit refreshing for me. Since I've played the last three RPGs, all of them, I've finished all three. Loved Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla. So this is refreshing to me, but you just know that it's not going to be life-changing. You know that it's not going to be it's not going to be an amazing game. So that has me hesitant. And also, it's such a packed year. Like this, Alan Wake's 5 days later, Spider-Man's a week later. It's going to just disappear when those games come out. Like the conversation is probably just going to drift away. So
yeah.
And I'm more excited for those. Even Spider-Man 2, even though it was underwhelming, I'm more excited for that because I know it's going to be a banger. So Mirage, I mean, yeah, look, I feel like they haven't shown a lot still. I still think they're holding back a little bit.
I feel like in Ryugotoku, I'll never pronounce that right, I feel like they have an opportunity like that to actually make the RPG Assassin's Creed's into its own thing, and then the non-RPG or the stealth-based Assassin's Creed's into their own thing, sort of like how Like a Dragon and Yakuza did theirs. But I don't know if they'll go that route, but I thought this is actually a cool opportunity.
Like they should reboot the entire story and start from scratch and have someone come in and have a long-term story arc that you're going to tell over six games.
Desmond
whatever.
Miles, mate.
Jordan, not even Desmond, someone completely new, but actually good writing.
Jordan said this before, and it still to this day resonates with me so much because I agree with him 100%. One of the best moments of the Assassin's Creed series is the end of the first game. When you complete it, you get this eagle vision, you see all the writing and this mystery of the Animus, the mystery of Abstergo, and it just opens us up. And at that moment, I'm like, wow, I'm as invested in the assassin story and the real life. So, like, I was excited to get out of the Animus to experience what's going on. And then I was excited to get back into the Animus to play the game, but also find the answers. And there was this great interweaving. But then it just lost that, didn't it, with the future Assassin's Creed.
They literally just lost the plot.
Yeah. That was one of the most unique, best things it had going for it. Like, the uniqueness of that real life current storyline and the game's interweaving in a way where you're actually going to the Animus to find the answers, but you're also having fun, obviously, with the game. That was one of the best parts of Assassin's Creed, I feel like. And Dan, like you said, reset the universe. Like, Mortal Kombat's doing that, and they weren't even in that position of like where it got. Like,
they
it
didn't
wasn't a
need to. Yeah,
Mortal Kombat was in. But
I mean, Ed Boon said he was. He felt like he'd told the stories, I guess.
Yeah,
you didn't
like
have
felt like there's not much else to say.
No, yeah.
I feel like the difference is I don't play the Assassin's Creed game, so I can't really confirm. But does anyone really care what the story is now? Like, isn't it just like, oh, let's do an action-adventure game that's set in this time?
Well, there's two stories. Yeah, no. There's also two stories going on.
What do you mean, Dan?
Like, what are they?
Because you've got the actual game and then the Animus side.
Is there still Animus stuff?
Oh, yeah. Desmond Miles came back, mate. Didn't you know that?
15 years too late.
So
you can look that up.
It's literally the point now where I was captivated, as Vike just said, by the end of Assassin's Creed 1. I couldn't wait to play.
Yeah, but how old were you? You were 13.
Yeah, but it was also. It was unreal. It was such a good plot twist because, like, oh my gosh, Eagle Vision, all this writing, it's talking about.
It was good. It was good.
And then they basically what happened is, I'm not normally the one who's critical of Ubisoft, but they saw the dollar signs and they rolled their eyes in the back of their head and they saw that this was just going to start printing money and they're like, we can't end the story here. And then Brotherhood came out and then Revelation.
Yeah. How do I convince you two to play Origins?
Never.
Never.
Is there nothing I can do?
No.
I will say Revelations was cool because Altair, Ezio, like all the assassins were like sort of meeting each other. They're like in the one game. That was cool. But and you know the other thing is, well, I don't, Dan, you will know this. The trope where it's like, what do you call it? Like the where it's like an item you have to get, that trope in movies.
The MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin.
Yeah. I actually think the Apple of Eden was a great MacGuffin. I actually think worked. Because it was such a powerful weapon in the first Assassin's Creed, and like you're trying to get it, and I don't know, it was good. So I think Dan, like if they did, like how good would it be if they're like, look, Mirage is our research, like it's our concept, and we're just doing this as research to see how many people still love this old style. Let's use this as research, and then now the next game's like the future of Assassin's Creed. Let's reboot Assassin's Creed. We might even split off two, because you know Ubisoft have 4 billion studios. Let's have a studio for the RPG style Assassin's Creed. Let's have the stealth Assassin's Creed. Let's keep the stories. Like, it can be hard because you're expecting Assassin's Creed fans to play both. But let's start the story again. Have an Animus. Have a you know, great compelling assassin stories. Interweave them like they did with the Magic, the first one. Maybe just do an Assassin's Creed 1 reboot. Like, they could really do really good things with this game. And I think it was Assassin's Creed Rogue, Jordan. This was the one where PS3, you remember that? Remember how they released Unity Rogue and Rogue?
And Unity. Or was it Rogue and Black Flag?
No, it was Rogue and Unity. So Unity Rogue was a PS4 version and Rogue was a PS3. And Rogue was about a Templar. And it was like, how cool is that? That we got a Templar side of the story. Even Assassin's Creed 3, the first part of it was you were playing as Haytham Kenway, his dad, who was a Templar. And I'm like, why don't we have like the RPG be the Templar storyline? Because Templars aren't stealthy. They do need RPG mechanics, their sword, Elden Ring style. And why don't you have the Assassin's story be the stealth games and then weave them in together with an Animus? Like, they could really, I know it's a lot to ask, but they have the money, they have the studios, they have the talent. Why are they just relegating themselves and selling themselves so short with these lame pigeonholed games? I don't know, but man, what I would do if I was the director of Ubisoft, if I was Yves Guillemot.
Yeah, it was strange as well, the way they did it at the conference. They said, here's the raw uncut gameplay, and it felt like a game from 2010. Like there was nothing really new about it.
Yeah. Yes. But I will say the highlight for me of Ubisoft conference was X Defiant.
The COD killers.
Yeah, X Defiant looks really good. Looks really, really good. I
mean, the maps and the road map and all that, that's like your typical shooter type stuff. But the gameplay looked really good. Like, I'm actually pretty excited for it. The maps look nice and tight. It kind of reminds you of the old Black Ops days, don't you reckon, Jules? Like, it's, and that's the magic we want. Like, I don't know. It's exciting.
Well, the director is Mark Rubin, or the producer.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Rubin, you know him. Yeah. So he knows.
I feel like he might have been for Infinite Warfare or something like that. That might have been him.
God, you're good, Jordan.
Was that it?
You know your shit. Yeah. That's him.
Yeah, I feel like that was him.
Infinity Ward. Is that what you said? Infinity Ward?
Yeah, Infinity Ward. Yeah, I feel like he did Infinite Warfare. Might have been the one that he was the lead on.
Yeah, not sure what game he was the lead on, but he worked on Modern Warfare 2, COD 4, and others. So, yeah, he knows what he's doing, and I like that they're making it not the number one thing for me. The biggest selling point is that not only does it play well, like it's a solid shooter, which is obviously the number one thing you need, but they got rid of that sort of tacky Watch Dogs feeling that they were throwing in the marketing. They sort of have moved away from that. And they got no skill-based matchmaking. Fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
Let me destroy noobs, please.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to do this for 10 years.
I don't even want that. I'm going to be even more conservative than that. I'm like, let me just play people who are randomly assigned to my
game. They could be even way better than me. Yeah, I don't care. Let me get my shit kicked in, please.
Just don't let it happen every game.
Yeah, give me some variety. I mean, Australia's pool of players is a lot very high quality these days. So, yeah, anyway.
You've got us roaming around.
Oh, we've fallen behind, I reckon. I haven't played Warzone in months.
Yeah, I haven't played in a while either. At least we're still kicking at a Rocket League.
Yeah, we go positive most days.
Yeah. We go positive.
Positive as in we're winning more than we're losing. Yeah. Well, if we're losing more than winning, we're a bit of a dud team, aren't we?
If you're losing more than winning, why are you playing?
All right. So quickly, Xbox conference. Look.
Yes.
It was a pretty good conference. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It had great flow.
I liked it a lot.
Everything like it was hit after hit, sort of felt like. They showed a lot of first party. They had their Forzas there. They had Fable. They had a really interesting game that piqued my interest, Clockwork Revolution.
Yeah.
Did you see this one?
Yeah.
I thought that was a great way to end that part before Starfield. And I actually thought it was Bioshock, which probably everyone did. But it's I don't know who the developers are, but, man, the trailer really intrigued me and the world and looked fantastic.
Yeah, I believe In Exile are doing Clockwork. So they're the guys behind Wasteland, the Wasteland series. Don't see much else they've done. But,
man,
what a
change.
Microsoft or Xbox. So, yeah, it is. And I think, like you said, Dan, where this is what I wanted in the PlayStation showcase. Look, I don't need some amazing like Days Gone reveal where we didn't even have any idea of the IP and the gameplay looked great. What an announcement. The OMG moments. I just wanted this is the future of Xbox. These are our studios and what they're working on. Here is an optimistic look at everything that's coming up. Yes, we didn't see what Coalition were doing with Gears. Yes, we didn't see an update maybe from 343, which I think is a good thing. But and maybe, look, I think Hellblade was very underwhelming from what we saw, and there's still worries about the gameplay there.
Underwhelming?
Yeah. I thought Hellblade was a bit underwhelming. And, you know, Fable was CG, but it was kind of expected. But it doesn't matter. It was great. They showed everything. You know, as an Xbox or Microsoft fan, what you're getting. You're getting Fable, Forza, even Flight Simulator had some great stuff. Hellblade 2, South of Midnight, I thought was a really cool. Obviously, that's that new game. What are they called? I forgot. They called the studio. They made Compulsion. They made We Happy Few and Contrast, actually. Contrast, I remember playing on launch. And this isn't even including the Starfield Direct, but, you know, you got some really good games, 33 Immortals, City Skyline 2, which I love.
The 54 SimCity Immortals crush all opposition.
That is such a deep cut reference. Black Ops 3. But I'm a huge fan of SimCity when Maxis were in business, before EA screwed them over, where City Skyline 2 is great. So, you know, you're getting, and like you said, Dan, there were some great third-party showings, like a Dragon and we even saw Payday 3. How great was that? You know, Persona 3 Reloaded, although people are having issues with that. We saw Persona 5, the tactical one, like obviously Outlaws and those sort of things. So we got an announcement of a new black Xbox series. It's like, it's just, and we got Cyberpunk. So I'm just excited for the future of Xbox.
They even showed Payday 3. I thought that was random.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah, Payday 3. So it's exciting to see a Dune, I think. Oh, no, that was Flight Simulator, wasn't it? But Sea of Thieves, that was nice. But, yeah, it was
They had
just
something
what you
for everyone. Like, they had something for everyone. They even had
all sorts.
This Still Wakes the Deep, which looked fantastic. First-person narrative horror from the guys that did Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. And one of the Amnesia games.
Is that,
so you go to this oil rig.
Everybody, is that like the something tea room or something?
Yeah, Chinese room. You go. Chinese it looks room. Like you go to this abandoned oil rig by yourself, and man, it looks creepy. It looks fantastic.
Avowed looked good.
Oh, I don't know about Avowed. That's probably the big disappointment for me. They changed the art style completely.
They did. It's no longer.
It's
that
completely
magical.
Different.
Yeah,
but completely
was it
different.
That someone
looks cartoony.
That someone said that Yeah, they needed that change. I think they had to do the pivot. And there must be a reason.
Why? Because of Elder Scrolls?
I don't know, but they must have had a reason why they pivoted. I know it looks a bit more generic, but I have faith in Obsidian, man. Like, Obsidian, yeah. New Vegas and Outer Worlds, like, they know what they're doing.
Man, imagine that. New Vegas 2 or something like that, man. That would have been a hype announcement. They could have gone.
The reason I'll sort of maybe I just mentioned it, but the reason, Dan, I'm not a fan of Hellblade is, or Hellblade 2 is let me put it like this. I played Hellblade 1, completed it to the end. I thought it was a great game, and it was a great game for what it was. It was a small game. The game, there was not much gameplay in it. The mechanics are good.
It was showing off a lot of the sound.
Yeah, the sound, the visuals. It wasn't a gameplay heavy game. It was. You're walking through a lot of it. You're experiencing the story of Senua and
immersion.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people are expecting Hellblade 2 to be this insane leap where there's heaps of gameplay and you're going to get this fully fledged game. And a lot of people, and I don't know if I'm expecting that, but I do expect that they include more gameplay because the gameplay was great of Hellblade 1. So I definitely want more gameplay, more puzzles. And I just think that it's a bit of a worry that they have shown two trailers now. It's been so many years and they still haven't shown any gameplay yet. They just showed another story trailer. And I don't think that's what fans want. They wanted to see gameplay. That's a big question that we're asking Ninja Theory.
The game looks so good. The game looks so good. If they were to throw gameplay in, it'd go to one frame per second.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So
I mean, they're going to tone the graphics down if they want gameplay. Of anything
I think people remotely. Are just worried that is this game in development trouble because there's no game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, is there?
Well, it's coming out next year, so it's basically done.
Yeah. I'm just, why? Like, there must be a reason, but why haven't they not shown gameplay?
Well, there's still a year to go. There's still a year to go. There's another showcase next year. Just remember that. Let's not throw all our eggs in. You know, there's still going to be a showcase next year where they're going to really amp up the hype for the game because that'll be probably the big game of next year for Xbox. So.
Is there a
what about now? No, what about Starfield? What about Starfield?
Do we want to finish on Starfield?
This is my most anticipated game. It's not PlayStation. It's not PlayStation. So.
I don't have too much to say. Like, it looks good. It does look cool. But I also turned it off. Like, I didn't watch all of the Xbox thing and I caught the end of it and I was watching the Starfield stuff and it's a bit of a cynical attitude, but I was like, I'm not going to play it. So I'm just going to turn it off.
Why get hyped for it if I'm not going to play it?
There's a bit of that. I'm like, oh, I don't need to watch this. I'm just like, people are going to love it and that's fine, but... Bit of like the don't know what I'm missing.
But you're being stubborn, Jordan. You're not at all. You're just canceling out that you're going to buy an Xbox. There's just no way.
I can promise you.
That's what I'm saying. So they could put anything out, and you're just stubborn. You're just not going to buy it.
Yeah, no, I don't need.
So they can't win. They can't win you over. Essentially,
I feel like if for Jordan, the only way they can win him over. Potentially getting a cheap Series S or whatever is if they announce Fallout, the next Fallout is only on Xbox.
Can I be honest with you, Vic? Not even that.
Wow.
What about the TMNT game? TMNT game.
War, Jordan.
Yeah. The TMNT game would be one where I'd be like, oh, okay, what's the cheapest way I can get into this? But as I've spoken about before, I'm sort of off these massive games now because I just don't have the time. They take me too long to beat.
Oh, this game looks massive.
I got turned off by Elden Ring last year because it took me like 2 months to beat because I was playing it in chunks when I could. So I'm sort of off it. Now, if The Last Ronin came out and it was an Xbox exclusive, I would definitely consider getting some sort of like figuring out whatever it was I needed to figure out. To get
that's the one game I got him.
Yeah, it's like there's no point saying like, oh, what if God of War did? Because like that's not
that's not gonna happen.
But like, I've got inside info. Could happen. That one could happen, and if that did happen, That would be the one.
What about like Call of Duties? Any of the Call of Duties, if they ever got that?
I feel like I'd just go without.
Yeah?
I feel like I'd find other things to play. Yeah.
Even if they like did a Black Ops something, Black Ops.
Yeah, well, they did the Black Ops not remastered, but they made Black Ops backwards compatible.
Mm.
And I know it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like Black Ops 1 would be another one where if it was like fully remastered.
Full remastered remake, yeah. Yeah,
I remember though.
The one hypothetical that could happen, that would be one that would make me go, ooh, maybe I could hop back in.
Yeah.
You got to remember, Warzone will never be single platform.
No.
And that's the main way people are interacting with Call of Duty nowadays anyway.
I don't think any Call of Duty will ever be exclusive. I think if Microsoft knows what's good for them, they'll make sure that they make it available. Having said that, the FTC did just block it as well.
Of course they did.
Yeah. No, Starfield, I tell you what, this, I hope it hits because it could be the game of the generation. I watched this 45-minute gameplay deep dive and I just continually getting hyped and hyped more and more. And I don't, even the 60 frames, yeah, it's a bummer, but I already know the 1,000 planets, half of them will be filled with crap, but just getting back into a world from Bethesda has been so long. Like the last one was Fallout.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Fallout 4, which was what, 7 years ago?
2014.
Yeah, 7 or 8 years ago. Like,
yeah,
man, they know what they're doing over there. So I just hope it delivers. That's where we're at now. And
2015 it was Fallout 4. November 2015.
They said last year it was coming out. What was the 11th? 11th? That was the original date.
Yeah, which they announced like a full year in advance.
Full year in advance. And ever since then, they've been ironing out bugs. So for the last year or so, the game's been done. They're just focusing on polishing. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. Phil Spencer did say apparently as well that this is from what the team has told him, it'll launch with the least amount of bugs of a Bethesda game.
Yeah, I wish they didn't say that. I wish they didn't say that though.
Yeah,
because
that's not a measurable statement. Like no one's going to go and measure that.
But exactly. The fact that they had to say that, like it shows that bugs in Bethesda are so synonymous. Like the Bethesda jank. Like to be honest, it's kind of what made Skyrim so charming. Like some people, they took advantage of that, right? In some ways, like. I think the polishing thing you said is actually really a really good thing because it shows that Bethesda are actually different now. They're like, look, we're not going to use a creation engine. I forgot the name. Was it creation engine?
Creation 2.
Creation 2 where Fallout 4 looks so dated. We're not going to have the Bethesda bugs.
They've upgraded the engine to creation 2 now, which is an upgrade from Fallout 4.
Sorry.
Yeah,
so there's a new engine with this. They're saying there's no bugs. They're trying to forge this new AAA identity with Starfield. The thing is, and Dan, you said this lightly, but I kind of take it really heavily, is, look, the story, the character creation, the skills, the ships, the companions, the space flight, the exploration, combat, they looked all great. Like the combat, like... combat's sort of been a weaker thing. Like that's why they had VATS in Fallout because it's to make up for the weaknesses that the combat system had. But, they all looked great. But the thing I'm really worried about is, look, I said story, but I should say the one thing I'm worried about is story. But also, Todd Howard is a master of upselling things. Like you look at Fallout 76, you look at even things like what was the other game they screwed up on?
He does get you in. Yeah, it was 76. Yeah, 76.
No, it wasn't 76. They screwed up on another game, right? Bethesda.
No. 76 was the big one, but remember that that's not actually a Bethesda Game Studio game. 76, that's a different team.
True, but still, Todd came out and...
yeah, he worked his magic. As if he was
even like things like Redfall and stuff like that. So, look, I just think... Todd can promise a lot. And when he said you've got 1,000 planets, that turned me off so fast because I worry about the No Man's Sky problem. And that is, No Man's Sky was infinity planets. So that's a whole different thing. But 1,000 planets is
it's procedurally generated. So it's not going to have those planets aren't going to have that curation to them. that in touch, Starfield. That human touch. Yeah, a lot of those planets
Do you know what that relegates Starfield's Thousand Planets to? Mm. Fetch quests and exploration. Like Mass Effect.
Pretty much getting resources, yeah. Getting resources.
Yeah. Where's the fun in? Like, look, if they have this strong linear narrative that takes you to key planets, which obviously you haven't been procedurally generated, that they've created that, you know, have great lore, great factions, and the strength of Fallout and Bethesda games are the factions and that story. And if they have that and it takes you on a journey into the galaxy from different planets and they're great stories, that's great. But, you know, I just hated the way they advertised this game when they talked about exploration. They're like, there's 1,000 planets and like all these planets have amazing quest lines and each have all these amazing stories. I'm like, no, they don't. They're procedurally generated, which means that they're not going to have unique and like fleshed out stories.
Yeah, but they do.
That means that
50 times the voice lines or something crazy. Five times the voice lines.
Six times, 16 times the detail.
No, that's a lot of voice lines compared to their last game. Fallout.
Here's the thing. Yeah. If your game is procedurally generated and your version, Jordan's version, and my version have different planets, that means those planets can't have the same story because otherwise we'd be playing different
games. No, I think it means like it's procedurally generated before. Like I took it as like,
what?
Not like that we'll each get individual ones. Like I took it as like they're procedurally generated.
And it's for everyone.
Yeah.
Look, you can procedure generate the biomes and stuff, but are you telling me that thousands of all those 1,000 planets have unique quest lines and storylines? And let me put it like this. If you spend even half an hour, 30 minutes on each planet, right? 30 minutes on each planet, that's still what, 500 hours? Mm. And do you expect me to play Starfield for 500 hours?
But they don't. You don't have to do all of them.
No, but that's the thing.
Like, you won't even have to go to many of these if you don't want to. They've got the massive city. You've seen the footage of the city. It's massive.
And that's the thing. It's going to be maybe 6 planets that are maybe 10.
That's fine.
Three planets. And that's great, like you said, Dan. But why advertise? Like 1,000 planets is a ridiculously stupid number. It's actually not stupid as in like amazing. It's actually just dumb.
Because it's a marketing thing that we see through.
It's a marketing thing because there's lots of that. And there will be people who will do them all. And yeah, there'll be some that are rubbish. There'll be some that are great. But it's the same as lots of the explorable areas in Fallout, like in Fallout 4. There were some areas that were really fun to explore. There were some areas I explored and I walked away with like 2 tin cans and a spoon. And I was like, well, what'd I do that for?
And there is something, it's capturing the essence of being in space and what is out there. It's trying to get that. I think that's what the feeling they're going for, of what could be on that 856th planet. Like what's...
Nah.
You know what I mean? What are you going to find? It could be something completely random.
So. 10 minutes. 10 minutes on each planet is still 170 hours.
Yeah, but like, you don't need to.
You are not going to every planet.
That's such a stupid thing. Like, you shouldn't just make a game and be like, let's, you know, you don't have to do it all. It's like you should make the game such that the consumer will try everything. The ability to skip stuff should be at a loss.
Not for a game like this that gets played for like 10 to 15 years. Remember, Skyrim's still being played to this day. Like, Kyle played Skyrim this year, for example.
Yes, but what I'm saying is it's just such a defeatist mentality to have, like, we're going to make this, but we hope you guys don't play it because it's so lame and boring. We hope you guys don't, you know, you don't have to do this part. This part's a crappy part, the boring part, where it's just going to be a generic fetch quest and maybe mining some resources with your gun. Like,
There'll be a lot of mining. I can guarantee it.
And like
it.
Mass Effect did this with the planets and the drones. And that was great. Mass Effect 2, you just launched some drones or probes. Here, I have to bloody land.
Okay,
on a
so
planet,
you have a problem. What if the curated mine. Stuff, what if the story's fantastic and you just want to beeline the story? That's it.
Yeah,
what are you worried
that's
about?
That's great. That's great. Yeah, but then I'm always going to be like, I'm always going to look at the rest of the game and be like, man, the story was great, but what a crappy planet. Like, what crappy game design where it's like all these planets. Like, are you expecting me to seriously get out? Like, I have to fly to all these planets, get out of my ship, cop a loading screen, go down, open my weapon wheel and mine some resources, put it back, go back up, do a mission, go to another five planets, spend 5 hours mining stuff.
You don't know. Like, come on. You're just making up. You don't know.
No, but we saw that they were mining with the guns. We saw that in the game.
That might not be appealing to you, but for some people that is appealing. There are people who play RuneScape and it's just them clicking on rocks all day and it's
that's
mining.
What I used to do.
Yeah, you're a hypocrite. What are you talking about?
To other people.
No, but the difference
is. Have you played No Man's Sky? Have you played
mining, Jordan? Mining, like the thing with RuneScape, and I know this is not what you're saying, but look, I'm just going to say this: RuneScape, you had bronze, iron, mithril, adamant, rune. Like, I'm missing another element type, but there was a great mining mechanic. There was a fleshed out smithing mechanic. There was a fleshed out magic archer, and people can choose to spend hours in those skills because there's so much there for them to do. What you guys are saying here is. People are going to have so much fun blandly getting out of a ship and mining resources all day. I just don't see that happening. That's not going like,
to. It's more of a shooter. I think you're missing it. It's going to be more of a shooter.
Why? Like, I don't know. Like, imagine if God of War, it was the exact Ragnarok was the exact same game. Imagine it was the exact same game, but there were 500 different realms, like 500, and all they had there was for you to just.
Yeah, but you don't know that that's what that you haven't played it yet. You can't make the assumptions.
Think about Occam's Razor here and think about they cannot have 1,000 planets fully fleshed out with great stories and stuff. It's going to be bland resource collection.
This is
going to
get clicked and it's going to go viral.
No, there is no one.
In its scope of Starfield. And then when it turns out that each planet does have compelling storylines, you're going to look like a tool.
There is nothing more I want to be than a tool because I want this game to be so damn good. But I'm
clip
just saying
that.
The evidence.
There's nothing more than I want to be than a tool.
Like I want to be proven wrong, but I'm saying the evidence clearly shows here you cannot have 1,000 planets and a meaningful story on each planet. Mass Effect couldn't do that.
They're not even saying
No
that.
No Man's
though.
Sky didn't.
They're
do
not
that.
Saying they're meaningful stories.
They advertised in the trailer.
Who said the
look
stories?
Look at the trailer, and they're like, we've got thousands of planets, and they've got great storylines in them. Like they're trying to.
Well,
We'll see. That there's a lot of content in these planets. They're trying to advertise these 1,000 planets have great content in all of them. And I'm saying that is not realistically possible. You can procedurally generate the biomes and the resources those planets have. You cannot put, like, you can have great fetch quests, great, but it's going to be so devoid of a soul. And the annoying thing about the Starfield Direct is that they didn't address that. They said there was 1,000 planets, but the question I just kept asking them, shouting at my screen, is, what can I do on those planets? What am I going to do? Is it going to grip me?
I mean, you're not wrong, but you're also jumping the gun a bit.
No, I'm not. I'm right about these things. And I'm not wrong about these things.
No, you could be completely right. I mean, and these planets could just be a barren wasteland where you do nothing.
But I've
got hope that they wouldn't just do that. Like, what? How would that add to the game? Having 1,000 planets with nothing.
That's Todd Howard for you.
There'll be something interesting there. I can guarantee it. Don't you worry, man.
Boy, what a rant.
Yeah, look, it's anyway. This game. Is the first game Xbox have that actually makes the PlayStation guys go, fuck, kind of wish we had that. It does. There's a lot of people.
You see what Vike did just then? That's what you're doing to a Starfield. You're making him lose it. He was sane at the start of his podcast. Now he's rambling about.
No one on the PlayStation. And not no one, Dad, but I'm saying when a PlayStation game is a linear third-person action adventure story with a contained world. Yeah, Ghost of Tsushima maybe stretched that, but you look at God of War and those type of games, and Horizon stretched that as well. But no, I don't know. People want the PlayStation. The great thing about PlayStation is the story and the gameplay and that quality that they have. I don't know. Like, stuff.
Do you really think that? Imagine if this game comes out and it's just mid. There's no way.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be mid.
They can't.
And the problem is, Dan, they can't. You're right. Bethesda cannot afford for this game. Microsoft cannot afford. They have the amount of chips or eggs they have put in this basket is ridiculous, both Xbox and Bethesda. They cannot
it won't be mid.
Stuff this up. It's going to be mid. Mark my words. I can't wait to be proven wrong. I nothing more because that I you know I told you guys I want an Xbox Series X at an arcade by nailing something. So I got it for free essentially, or $2, whatever the game.
You haven't watched the 45-minute deep dive, have you?
I have. I watched the whole direct. I cannot wait. If I was proven wrong, I cannot wait to get that Xbox, get Starfield, and play it. But everything I saw in that direct, no, I just
the 45-minute gameplay deep dive. You watched that, and you were left dissatisfied.
The one that they showed on the Starfield direct on the Xbox showcase, yeah. I watched that, and I thought all the systems looked great. It was great. The classic Bethesda humor of which was throwing back to one of their older games where you had the fan that follows you around, or the perk system, customizing the ship. They looked great, but they never answered my question of what the hell are you doing on each planet? What's keeping
you're also forgetting space flight and building your ship, like to the micro detail of building a ship.
That's great.
Like, you could build the what did they build in the? They built a transformer or something in the as a ship. Like imagine the creations you'll get just from that, and that's just one little small thing of the game.
The funny thing is about the Bethesda one is like they would say like all the developers are like, oh, I love mechs, so I created mine like a mech. I love doing this, and they were just like trying to convince us that they made these choices themselves. I'm like, just tell us that the ship you can customize in a different way. Don't try and make it into this story that, oh, I really love mechs, so I decided to make mine into a mech, and Starfield allows the freedom of customization. Like I don't know. Wow. I just think that.
Even Jordan's not this crazy, and he flat out said he's not getting it.
Yeah, because I'm just like, I'm not getting it. And I've had to sit through this, and I'm like, I'm listening to a game I'm not even caring about.
I mean,
he's entertaining, Jordan. You give him that. He might be crazy.
I love Microsoft, and I want them to do well. Like, I love Xbox, and I want them
shares.
I want to have a PlayStation ecosystem and a Microsoft ecosystem warring with each other and making each other better. And I want that, but I think Xbox and Microsoft are vastly mismanaged by Phil Spencer, and that's another story. But I just don't see, like, all the systems in Starfield, like you said, Dan, in that 45-minute showcase looked great. The fact that they just never answered, what are you going to do on each planet? What's the gameplay here? What's going to keep me in the loop? Is the story a 20-hour story, a 10-hour story, a 50-hour story?
It's a shooter.
Why do you
it's
need all these planets?
Shooter.
Yeah, what's that got to do with it?
That's the gameplay, my friend.
Yeah, but I'm saying is, have you ever played a shooter where you have to, wait a sec, I have to go and mine? A first-person shooter.
No, it's never been
done.
Where
you have to take your time and go mine something.
It's never been done.
FPSs are moment-to-moment fast-action gameplply.
Fallout's not.
Yeah, Fallout is. It's third. Fallout 4.
Yes, you are. Yes,
but
you are.
Three,
every Bethesda game is resource heavy. That's their number one thing.
No, but
collecting everything you want.
Yeah, but that's not resource gathering.
Picking up anything and everything. Well, that's like the bread and butter.
Collecting CDs and stuff to go build stuff at a base.
Yeah. Fallout 4. I'm saying Fallout 3 and New Vegas. You're picking up weapons and items. You're not picking up, like, that's loot. That's not resources. And Fallout 4, a lot of people hated that looting system, the resource system. So all I'm saying is, I liked it. I will say full disclosure, I didn't mind it. But I'm just saying, why do 1,000 planets, and what is going to validate that? Because if that's their big selling point and it's going to be devoid of anything, I'm really worried about this game. The story can be great, and hopefully it is, but where's the gameplay and the moment-to-moment gameplay and the content, the side content and all that? Like, how is that going to go?
Jordan, do you think this game will be mid? Or do you think it'll be a good game?
No, I don't think so. No.
You think it'll be good?
It could be. It very well could be, but yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. I think it's been in the I would definitely say that if they were looking at it now, doing their internal stuff, thinking that it was mid, it would not come out, especially after the way Redfall was. They would much rather delay it again. And this game, like Bethesda Game Studios, the main one behind Elder Scrolls and Fallout. Like, I'd love to know what their lowest reviewed game of the modern era is.
Jordan,
I don't think this will be mid.
And I kind of
will there be some side content that is not to everyone's liking? For sure. Will that overshadow what will probably be a really compelling main narrative with some really cool space hopping, with some really cool set pieces included in that with some characters you'll fall in love with. Nah, that'll, like, the main stuff will all overshadow what might be some planets that are, yeah, inconsequential.
And you guys are, you're also missing the fact that the modding community just go absolutely bonkers with games like this. Like, they bring it to new heights, these sort of games. So it's just crazy.
Play it on Xbox, though. Like,
well, I'm going to play it on PC. Maybe.
It'll be on PC. Yeah.
Look, Jordan, you're not wrong. Like, Bethesda, like the mainline Bethesda, yeah, that actually is a really good point. And the other good point you said is, like, Fallout games actually don't have, like, their quests and even their side quests are actually pretty good. The factions and stuff like that. Like, especially Fallout 3, when I think of the warring factions or...
And if I'm being honest with you, Vic, I think back to Fallout 4, I couldn't tell you what happened in the story. Yeah. But I remember specific locations that I raided, and I, like, all I got was, like, CDs and rubbish to go and make stuff back at my base. Mm. And I couldn't tell you what the story was. I know there's something about the Institute with, like the kid.
Yeah,
who, like, we think was your kid.
Did you guys prefer 4 to 3? Because you always bring up 4.
Play 3.
I preferred 3 to 4, but I loved 4. Like, it was one of my favorite games on PS4. But Fallout 3 is really good. Like, really good. Yeah. Seminal game. And, yeah. So, I agree with you, George. Like, they do good quest lines, but it's just, like, the statistic of, like, 1,000 planets, even if I spend 10 minutes, that's 170 hours. Like, I don't know, man. And I know you're right, George. I don't have to go to all the planets. But even if I go to 50% of those planets, that's still 80 hours, 90 hours. Like,
all right, guys, listening, what do you think? Is Vig right or wrong? Let us know.
Or is I'm putting my career on the line here with this hot take that
this is his hottest take of all time. Yeah. It's called Starfield Mid, and he believes the 1,000 planets is a gimmick. We're going to find out in a few short months if he's right or wrong. That being said, it's been a pleasure to serve you all, guys. What are you playing this week, if anything?
Diablo.
Diablo, nice.
I'm in love with Death Stranding. It is freaking
okay.
I just can't get
stop,
over it.
Stop, Vic. We're going to do a spoiler cast, Vic. So hold off.
Okay. Can you do it when I'm back? Because
not anytime soon.
Off but... my honeymoon this weekend. So when I'm back, let's do it.
Yeah. So we're not going to have Jordan for the next few weeks, or the next probably next month, Jordan.
Yeah. I'd probably say the next month.
Towards
the end of July when I'm back.
Do you know what I hope happens on Jordan's honeymoon? So, like,
Jesus, sounds terrible. About, start.
Like, think about, like, Jordan's, like, you know, Brianna and Jordan are just chilling on the, you know, poolside, sipping a mojito. Jordan's, like, finally just relaxing, laying back on his umbrella, like his hammock, sunnies with a coconut drink. And then as he relaxes, he just hears in his voice, Starfield is mid, 1,000 planets for 10 minutes. That's 170 hours.
How are they
going
to do it then? How are they going to do it? 1,000 planets. How are they going to work? Do they know how many planets that is? Look at how many planets that is, man.
I just hope, George, you think about me. But no, more realistically, and obviously enjoy your honeymoon. Well deserved, you guys.
Thank you. I will. I hope
I love you guys.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll be playing
what are you
Final playing? Fantasy.
Ooh.
Nice. Yeah.
The new one, 16.
Ooh. The other thing I will be playing, it won't be on my PlayStation, but depending how I like it, I'll play it on my PlayStation when I'm back. The AEW Fight Forever game.
Yeah, I will check that out too. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna get that on my Switch. I'm also going to do the new Mario Kart 8 courses that have come out since like last year. And then
Jordan, please don't be that guy though. I'm begging you.
What guy?
He was surrounded by beautiful scenery in Italy, wherever he was, and he had his fucking remote play out playing Assassin's Creed.
It's for the plane.
Do it, George. Live your life. I did the same thing, George. I was on Fiji on a boat, and I was looking at all these archipelago islands, and I was like,
no.
Imagine how great was Assassin's Creed Black Flag going from island to island.
Stop.
Couldn't enjoy myself.
But you didn't, did you? Good man. All right, it's been our pleasure. Yeah, Final Fantasy 16.
It's on my fantasy critic.
Well, I think you've already won, by the way, on the critic. You're looking very good.
You guys have got so many games left, though. I don't.
Well, Jordan had Starfield, I think.
Yeah, I think I've had Starfield like 3 years in a row.
Jordan's got Starfield and Sea of Stars, and he's got Oxenfree 2. Dan, your games coming up are Pikmin 4, Lies of P, Assassin's Creed Mirage, and Alan Wake 2.
It's not bad.
Pretty good list.
Not bad.
Jordan, you also have Forza coming up. Forza's always
oh,
a good one.
Oh,
yeah,
Jordan, that's a 90.
Jordan, if you get a 90 in Forza, you're
in trouble.
Really back in this.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, I haven't had many release yet, yeah, and some haven't. That won't release at all.
I need Mirage to be good.
Yeah. That's not going to happen. Lies of P might be a 90 though, Dan.
Have I got Lies of P?
Yeah, you got Lies of P.
Ooh,
so
that's interesting.
That could be good. Pikmin could always be a good one.
Tekken, so. Yeah, probably not coming out.
Warhammer. Mate. So.
Yeah.
Tekken 8, yeah, that's who knows.
No Who's got Mortal Kombat? No one.
Oh, I just realized no
we
one
weren't
has
expecting it. We weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
We all thought Injustice 3.
Who's got Avatar? No one.
No, I think we said we didn't think it would come out.
Jordan has Avatar.
Oh! It's coming Jordan, together, Hades Jordan.
You nah, like a dragon.
Hades 2 is not coming.
Yeah, Hollow Knight. Spider-Man 2. Jordan has Spider-Man 2.
Oh! Okay. Okay.
He had Redfall. He had Redfall, which
gave him. I'm going to lose, guys. I'm going to lose. All right. Have a good week, boys. We'll see you next week. Oh, no, Jordan. Will we see you next week?
No, I'm going on Sunday, so don't miss me
Enjoy
too much.
Enjoy your honeymoon.
Enjoy it, man.
Thank you.
Take care.
And
we will see
you
later.
Later.